In this episode, we talk about the great PLE that was NXT No Mercy, as well as growth of NXT, and is it now a third brand, and the growth of AEW, and is that causing an identity crisis, and AEW no longer looks like what AEW once looks like. We're going to get into it all, so make sure you join us on the WrestleManiac UK show. Let's go. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will, back again for another podcast. Hope you guys are well. At the point of recording, it is October the 1st. I am an October baby, so by default, October is the greatest month in the year. Don't at me. I can't wait for my birthday to come around. Not that I'm really planning too much, but you know, it's just always a good milestone and always a good point to kind of reevaluate how things are going and set goals for the next year in front of you. But enough about that and onto the wrestling, which you guys came here for. Like I said, it's the 1st of October. I have watched NXT No Mercy, and later on today, We will get AEW Wrestle Dream. Unfortunately, I won't get a chance to talk to you about that on this podcast because I'm recording before that. But listen, I know Wrestle Dream is going to be a great show, and you know, we'll probably get my thoughts on my channel somewhere during the week on my Instagram, WrestleManiac.uk, or on Restings at Restings on all social media platforms. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of great talk about this inaugural event that AEW are having. And we're going to get round to AEW and talking about them on this show with my guest. But firstly, I needed to talk to you guys about WWE NXT No Mercy 2023. What a show, man. What a show. Like, NXT are doing stuff. It's not quite 2016, 17, 18, 2019 NXT. It's not quite that, but with this, you know, developing roster, yeah, these talents are just impressing me so much. And the TV that they're putting together, Shawn Michaels deserves his accolades, man. Obviously, this guy is a complete legend. He's everyone's inspiration as to why they got into wrestling, like into a ring. But honestly, what he's doing with these guys in the Performance Center, what he's doing in terms of booking, it just makes so much sense. And it's such an enjoyable show to watch. I've got a prediction league with some of my friends, and I've absolutely messed up my predictions for NXT No Mercy because everything I felt was going to happen happened. Imagine that. And I didn't bet on it. I didn't go for it. I went safe, and sometimes follow your instincts and don't be safe. Take risks in it, because now it's left me with egg on my face. And yeah, we're going to see where I am in the predictions table sooner or later, but I know it's not looking good because this show just pulled up. I would say surprises. Yeah. It pulled up a lot of surprises at the same time where I thought these things were going to happen, but I just didn't bet on myself. Like I said, just to kind of run through what happened quickly, you know, Baron Corbin versus Bron Breakker to open the show. This was madness. This match was madness. And to be honest, I remember their go-home segment to this on NXT during the week. It was crazy. And Bron Breakker's obviously been on crud for a while now. We saw what he done to Von Wagner. But I left myself thinking, last week when I was watching their pull apart brawl all over the place, I was thinking, I can't even really remember the reason why these guys are beefing like this. This is literally just some toxic masculinity, you know, alpha thing that these lot are beefing over, because there's no real reason. It's like Bron Breakker tried to bad up Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin just said, "You're a little man, like I'm not taking none of your crap," sort of thing. And Bron Breakker, like the dog he is, just keeps biting. And they got to this pay-per-view. Bron Breakker in his dog helmet, hat, costume thing was a bit questionable. Baron Corbin replicating like an Undertaker entrance on the motorbike, driving around the ring. But these two were really scrapping. Like, these two were really scrapping. And Baron Corbin gets the win, kind of from the help of Robert Stone, Mr. Stone, obviously Von Wagner's manager. And that, you know, what Bron done to Von Wagner clearly plays into this. But yeah, just the intensity. Like, again, if you compare this to takeovers of past, like, takeovers often start with the high spots, those kind of matches is just wowing you. This wasn't like that. This was just a fight to start, but it kind of still garnered that same, you know, intensity, which I was talking about. Then we had, you know, Dominic Mysterio, Dirty Dom, as they call him, against Trick Williams for the NXT North American Championship. And I did think, this was one of my predictions that I just didn't go with my heart. I played it safe. I said Dom's going to retain, especially just because of the bloody aesthetic that I had in my head of Judgment Day with all the belts. I just thought Dom's going to retain. Or, you know, maybe someone will come and help him. McDonough, Mommy will return, Rhea Ripley, and come and help him. I just thought, yeah, aesthetic-wise, they need all the belts. Dom retains. But I knew deep down in my heart told me Trick Williams was winning, and I chose to go in my head. And, poor blimey geezer, Trick Williams done it. He won. And my shock came, yes, because Trick Williams won, but the minute I knew and saw with my two eyes that Trick Williams won the NXT North American Championship, I knew Carmelo Hayes was going to lose to Ilya Dragunov. I knew it. And my jaw was on the ground for that reason that, yeah, my prediction was wrong. I've also predicted Carmelo Hayes to win. And I know that's going to be wrong now because that's exactly it. That's the story they're telling, that Trick Williams has had to kind of struggle to get to this point where he's broken free of being in the shadow of Carmelo Hayes. And he carved out this opportunity during the week to get into the number one contendership match for the North American title. He won that. He's got to the pay-per-view and he's walked into Carmelo Hayes's dressing room before the pay-per-view and basically said, tonight's our night. I'm going to win my championship. You're going to retain yours. And it was at that moment, to be honest, more than anything, more than the match, that I said Trick Williams is going to win tonight, isn't he? And when he won and he was celebrating, I was so happy for him because he's been really great. I remember his first night on NXT with that long ass promo he cut with Carmelo Hayes. And I can't remember who was that, Samantha Irwin, that was in the ring with them, asking them questions and stuff. I thought, yeah, this guy's not ready. But since then, that's the one bad night, and that was his first night, and he has never looked back. Trick Williams is excellent. Trick Williams is excellent, and he's been great entertainment, and yeah, he's now the North American champion. And yeah, I mean, I've said what the result of that other match was, so we'll talk about it. Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya Dragunov. Yeah, Ilya Dragunov was his usual intense, brilliant self, overcame Carmelo Hayes. This was a really good match between the two. A show of respect at the end when Ilya Dragunov, you know, beat him for the title. I could believe it because Ilya Dragunov is excellent, and we knew the first time he lost to Carmelo Hayes was because of Trick Williams' involvement somewhat. Even though it wasn't clean cut, it led to his demise. And now there's no Trick Williams around or anything like that. You know, we saw Ilya Dragunov become the NXT champion, and he deserves it. And I'm going to really enjoy the story that is going to be told now between Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, that Carmelo Hayes is no longer a champion, that Trick Williams is a champion, and it's Trick Williams him. You see what I mean? Like, Trick, at the end of an NXT broadcast, said to Carmelo Hayes, you're still him. I still believe in you. You're still the best and all that kind of stuff. Carmelo Hayes was very apologetic, which I didn't expect. You know, very apologetic, saying that, you know, I've let us down and all that kind of stuff. I thought it would be more or less like jealousy straight away, which I'm sure is going to come, but I thought they'll play that from the beginning. But yeah, I'm very intrigued to see where this story goes. One of the matches I did get right was the Heritage Cup match. Noam Dar defending the Heritage Cup against Pete Dunne, Butch. Listen, very good match. I didn't believe for a second that Butch was going to win. I just thought Metaphor would be obviously up to no good to make sure Noam Dar retained. I didn't see the Gallus boys coming and, you know, costing Butch. I thought, well, maybe they just want to use that to motivate something else. I didn't really think it was so needed. But yeah, this was a fun match as well. As well as the tag team match, we had the family, Stax Lorenzo and Tony D defending the tag team championships against the Creed brothers. OTM, OTM, man. One day we're going to talk about them. Carrillo and Garza as well. Like, this was a very fun match. The family retained. Lorenzo and D'Angelo are still the champions. But please, Julius Creed. The day they give this guy a singles run, you're going to have to put every championship on him. You're going to have to put every championship on him because he's bloody brilliant, mate. Like, Julius Creed is just something else. Like, do I say it? He's almost like genetically scary, like Brock Lesnar was when Brock Lesnar was a young man, 25 years old, coming through. Like, that's what I see when I see, like, obviously Brock Lesnar's pure aggression and almost looking like a monster, you know, was different. But in just in terms of the physique and just the craziness that this guy can do, like, he's just a physical specimen and he's so fun to wrestle, even though he's putting, you know, mass damage on his opponent. He's really good, man. Julius Creed is honestly a big, big talent that, you know, I really hope his ability shines when he does eventually get a run as an individual. I really think he's got it all, and, you know, just maybe for more fine-tuning, more exposure to different people, different opponents, could really help him blossom, because he's really, really special. So yeah, I want to see more from Julius Creed. And then, yeah, we had the main event, which was Becky Lynch, the NXT Women's Champion, defending that championship, against Tiffany Stratton. Really fun Extreme Rules match. Really, really fun. You know, these ladies really got to work, roughed themselves up, you know, took a lot of beating from each other. There was a great spot with a table outside. Tiffany Stratton, Swanton Bomb onto the table. Where Becky Lynch was lying on, didn't quite break the table. Then she threw Becky Lynch into the ring, climbed up there again, another Swanton Bomb. She went for her moonsault as well, but landed on a pile of chairs, and then Becky hit her with a manhandle slam to get the win. Very, very entertaining stuff. At this point, Becky was looking into the crowd, and I thought, oh, they're going to show Jade Cargill and stuff like that. Like, Jade Cargill's coming for her title. No, it was Tegan Nox. And yes, they've been building the little Tegan Nox thing, but I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? It's just a little Tegan Nox thing. I don't think it's really going anywhere else. Tegan Nox is going to lose to Becky Lynch on Monday Night Raw. Maybe we get Jade Cargill there. Maybe, because now no contenders are, you know, in her way, sort of thing. That's the only thing. If they brought Jade Cargill out NXT No Mercy, it kind of undermines Tegan Nox's, you know, possible attempt on the NXT championship, women's championship. But now if Becky can beat Tegan, get her out of the way, and then we see Jade Cargill, right, we're off to the races. And debuting her on Monday Night Raw after all the noisy people have made about her, it makes sense. Maybe more sense than NXT No Mercy. So looking forward to it. I hope that's the route that they go. I hope that's what they do. Because yeah, it should be a good one when we see Jade Cargill in front of an absolute legend like Becky Lynch, because let's not get it twisted, Becky Lynch has pretty much got legendary status in WWE right now. It's going to be something. it's going to be something. I'm looking forward to it. But this brought me onto the conversation after enjoying this NXT No Mercy show. Is NXT now a third brand? Like, we always flip-flop between developmental, third brand, developmental, third brand. Like, at this point, they are doing, or should I say behaving, like they are a third brand. Real third brand business that you see on NXT, you know, especially with the inclusion of main roster talents every now and again coming down, helping, doing their bit, obviously maybe to pop ratings in some instances, but, you know, they are really kind of, I know that's what Nick Khan most recently said, you want to be a third brand, or NXT is a third brand. They're behaving like it. They're really behaving like it. I think it should kind of stay as it is now, developmental, but we bring the main roster guys in to kind of keep them fresh, give them something to do and boost what we're doing in NXT and help the younger lot. I don't think they should go full on third brand and, you know, try to literally be Raw, SmackDown, NXT on the same like level. Just keep it as this developmental that gets sprinkled with main roster stars. And we continue making that pipe way to the main roster, because it makes sense. Look at the likes of Grayson Waller have fit in the main roster like a glove, like been very easy transition. And this wasn't so much the easiness of transition when Triple H was running NXT, because Triple H, it was kind of like NXT was having an identity crisis. It was like, we're an indie, we're not third brand, we're a super indie with all your favorites on it, we're not quite developmental anymore. So I think now it's clearly defined. Don't try and, you know, make it something more than, you know, just a place where we cultivate the talent for the main roster. Keep it in that kind of realm. And I have this conversation with my guest, Mini. So Mini is a online wrestling content creator, makes a really good stuff. Her passion lies with AEW. She absolutely loves AEW. And that's where I started connecting with her from, because I just love when someone's just, she films herself watching AEW, like full on episodes on a Kick, I think the platform's called, watching AEW and just absolutely like loving the show. And I just love those kind of natural reactions to, you know, wrestling sort of thing. So yeah, I got her on the show. We spoke about NXT and this growth of NXT, and is it a third brand or is it still developmental? And we also talked about AEW, and as AEW grows, is it turning more and more into what we know of WWE? Or can we still manage to keep AEW roots happening, you know, and try to keep AEW as much as AEW as we knew it once was back in 2019. So, yeah, I'm going to put that conversation I had with Mini in right here so you guys can hear that. And, yeah, I hope you enjoy it. All right, joining me at this time, I've got one of my current favorite Instagram creators with me. Her name is Mini. Mini, say hello to the people.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm good. Thank you for you know, being happy to kind of join me. I know you're in transit and you're supposed to be, you know, enjoying your holiday, but I'm bothering you and getting you to kind of join me here, and I appreciate that. I know it's kind of what us creators do, no matter where we are, we're always trying to create something. So no, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. So, you know, I've got you here today to have some conversations, two kind of wide general conversations that have been going on in wrestling over the past, I would say month and a bit for maybe another one. We'll start with NXT, WWE NXT, and is it developmental? Is it a third brand? I feel like from about 2016, we've been flip-flopping between what the fans see WWE NXT as and maybe what the corporate side, the business, WWE themselves see NXT as. So just generally speaking, before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it all, what do you see NXT as? Is it developmental? Is it a third brand? Is it just another place for WWE superstars?
I see NXT, it is developmental. I definitely see that. I think it's important for a lot of the wrestlers to start in NXT, because whatever Shawn Michaels does in NXT, it's wonderful. Whatever he's doing right now, that man is cooking. Like, when it comes to Jade Cargill, there's rumors where she might just debut on Raw and SmackDown on the main roster. And I think that's not the best idea for her, especially because she's still green. And that's where NXT comes in. So yeah, NXT is there for you to train you, to make you a better superstar. But whenever they have their pay-per-views, I mean, NXT Tuesdays is pretty much something that a lot of people are talking about these days. And sometimes, or for the most part, NXT is usually better than Monday Night Raw, and it's sometimes better than Dynamite.
Yeah, I think obviously dating back to NXT early days when it became its own kind of entity away from FCW, it was just a 1 hour show, and a lot of people just gravitated towards it because it was just a quick 1 hour of wrestling, don't need to kind of overcommit any time, and it was just good. And then slowly moved to 2 hours, then it moved to being on TV. Us here in the UK, we still watch it the same way, but I guess you guys get the difference of watching it on the network and then watching it on actual, USA, I think it was on the time. But yeah, I think it's the personnel. Who is the current roster is kind of what has always determined, is this developmental or is it, the main show, or is it a third brand? And I feel like it used to be developmental, and then we started getting loads of indie stars. This is before AEW. We got all the most of the people you see on AEW now were kind of through NXT. And then it's like, oh, is it a third brand sort of thing? And then we obviously know NXT 2.0. When that happened,
I tuned out. I was like, I don't care about this. Just the branding of it, because we were transitioning from Black and Gold NXT, where I was a major NXT fan. I was like, I didn't even watch Raw. I didn't watch SmackDown because NXT was giving me everything I wanted. Just like you said, it was pretty short. The matches were incredible. Storylines were good, but not the entirety of the show wasn't just previews, storylines, promos, which yes, that is all important in wrestling, but they kind of did it so eloquently where it was just, everything just ran smoothly.
And then
a lot of my favorites got called up. Kind of stopped watching NXT during that time, and then I heard NXT 2.0 was starting to happen, and I was like, yeah, I'm okay. But right now, NXT is wonderful. I do not think it is a third. I definitely think it's a brand. But there are times I'm an AEW girl through and through, but I think NXT is better than AEW right now.
Okay. That's a conversation. I really do enjoy AEW as well. I really like AEW. What I would say, they're both booked just very well. I feel now we're moving out of the space of I don't want to say corporate people booking the shows, but it's just more people that are in tune. Maybe that's the word. People are more in tune with what's happening, and they're booking stuff that the fans want to see. Yeah, it's a bold statement to see NXT is better than AEW. I don't know if I can wholeheartedly join you there, but I definitely watch NXT week to week. I really do enjoy it, and I feel like even through the viewership, they say a lot of people are tuning in more and more for NXT now than when it went to NXT 2.0. No one was watching it, sort of thing. Now things are getting better. So with today and with the current standing, the current roster, would you say it's a third brand, or would you say it's still developmental in your eyes?
I want to say it's both, but if I have to choose, I definitely want to say a third brand. I definitely do still think it is a stepping stone, because talent has more time to work on their storyline, work on their in-ring psychology, work on their promo skills, all of that, right? And I feel like in the main roster, you kind of have to be ready already. If not, the crowd is turning on you and you're not going over, and you can easily get buried for sure. But in NXT, I feel like there's more room for that. There's more wiggle room. And a lot of them have more time to train you, to, especially when it comes to Shawn Michaels. I heard he's very hands-on. He wants all of his kids to succeed. And yeah. I think when it comes to Shawn Michaels, he's the important entity in NXT. And if you're working under him, he's going to make it a star.
I agree. I think when Triple H was running the ship, when it was black and gold, Triple H was kind of, he was doing stuff, a lot of stuff for the fans. He was having his own kind of indie federation down there. But I think what we definitely saw, like NXT 2.0, I'll definitely argue was needed, because now we're seeing, no, this is the process to take someone from Raw or Green, like you said, to the main roster and thrive on the main roster. Whereas Triple H was just giving us like the best of the indies in WWE. And then when a lot of these guys got to main roster, they weren't ready for main roster lifestyle, you know, what Vince wants and all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of them failed, didn't find a spot for themselves, or, you know, ended up just jobbing all the time. So I definitely see, you know, Shawn is doing a lot more of that transition stuff and hitting the entertainment as well as obviously the wrestling side, which we know Shawn was always great at himself, so that wouldn't be hard to kind of pass on. But I think they need to stay with their developmental roots. I like what NXT is right now, where you get some of the main roster people coming down and helping to bolster the roster in some places. Do you like the inclusion of main roster talents here and there, or do you prefer it just to be NXT level people?
I love it because it shows that NXT is its own brand. It shows that NXT is somewhere where it's not a downgrade. If you get sent to NXT, that doesn't mean it's necessarily a downgrade. Mandy Rose was killing it in NXT. Unfortunately, you know, she didn't get laid up. But she's no longer a free agent. I don't know if you know.
What? All right, no, we're gonna come back to that.
We don't have to. She signed to a different application.
Okay.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, when it comes to certain talents, I think they'll just thrive more in NXT. Becky Lynch being the NXT Women's Champion, I was okay with it. I did think Tiffany Stratton should have got her title back.
Yeah.
Do I think Becky Lynch should remain the champion? I don't think that. I think it was good for her to come back, take title, and probably like put Tiffany over and say, all right, like, here's a handshake. You run this division. Good for you. I was expecting Jade Cargill to debut, because in my head, I'm like, why would Becky retain?
Yeah.
Jade is not coming out next without Tegan Nox. I was like,
so. I'm not sure when I'm going to put this out, but because we didn't get Jade Cargill here, which I thought, like you're saying, had to happen, I think we're going to get, they've already started setting up Tegan Nox and Becky, which is going to happen on Raw. And I think Jade Cargill on Raw, she debuts on Raw. Like, if not, like, why, like, where are you going to put her? Because now you've announced her and all of the social media stuff you've done, we need to see her sooner rather than later, in my opinion. And yeah, maybe Tegan Nox loses and then Jade comes out then.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if she does debut on the main roster, I think that's the best way. Because again, if it's just Becky versus Tegan, and then where is that going? That's when the main roster. So when the main roster does come to NXT, that's the issue. That's my only complaint. But knowing how Triple H is like a long-term storyteller, knowing how Shawn Michaels is just great with his talent, I feel like that's pretty much what's going to happen. Jade might show up on Raw tomorrow. So if that does happen, then great. I do like Dom being the North. I like Dom being champion. I do like when Mommy goes to NXT, because again, it does bring more eyes to NXT. Yeah. And for the WWE universe, not everybody watches NXT. And I don't think a lot of people give it a chance because, you know what they say, like, casuals watch WWE. But once they get to NXT, they'll see that this is just, it might be slightly better than what they're used to. I think so.
Yeah. I hear you. And I think NXT is doing a great job. Obviously, we just had the No Mercy pay-per-view, and they got a one more pay-per-view before the end of the year, I believe, and probably some, you know, TV special kind of shows. I think they should kind of stay in developmental territory because it's needed for the success of the main roster, and not kind of stretch the whole third brand and going on the road and all of that kind of stuff too much. But yeah, that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's speak about AEW. So this is where I kind of found your content, because your enjoyment of AEW makes me smile.
Like,
because you just love it. Like, you literally just love this show. And it's good because I feel like AEW has gone through some tough times recently, and it's on the way out that tunnel. Like, it's improving again and kind of capturing the crowd again. However, have you been watching AEW from the beginning?
Yes. Since All In, and then the AEW started. Yeah.
So from 2019.
So since the very beginning. Because as soon as, like, Cody left, and then Cody was cooking in the Indies, I was like, all right, I'm going to follow whatever he does. He announces All In, and I was like, wait, this is incredible. This sounds wonderful. And then AEW Dynamite started, and I was like, all right. Yeah, so cool. Since the very beginning.
So that's even better that you mentioned Cody. Because obviously Cody, the Bucks, they embarked on this mission to do something that's never been done before. Went from a 10,000 seater show to what they were calling the alternative. Obviously, they mean the alternative to WWE. Mm-hmm. And more these days, in my opinion, it's not an alternative. And I think at a point they started saying that they're not the alternative, they're competition to WWE. Yes. But now it's more and more looking a bit like WWE. Stylistically, the booking is still, you know, very much AEW, very much pro wrestling. The match quality is still very much, you know, of an indie standard, or what we've come to understand is like an indie standard sort of thing. But I just feel in presentation, they're not quite there yet with WWE. WWE do TV and production brilliantly. But I feel like AEW just... I think more than ever, it's this, the last thing that's made me think this is, if you've heard, you know, they're going to move to HBO, they're going to have like 12 pay-per-views per year or something like that. Yeah. And I just thought, this is WWE now. Like, what's your general thoughts on the similarities, and if AEW are still themselves, or are they moving to more of this kind of commercial WWE looking product?
I think they're definitely moving towards commercial. The more they grow, the more they are going to have to limit themselves as like what AEW started. And I understand when a company grows, you kind of have to succumb to whatever the network wants. You kind of have to be like, all right. So apparently, I believe, what network are they on right now? What are they called?
Right now, TNT.
TNT?
Is TNT not a network? I don't know.
No, it is. I think I'm thinking of something else. But I guess the production company, they're the ones that wanted more pay-per-views.
Okay.
Which is why they're doing more pay-per-views. But I think when it comes to back-to-back pay-per-views, we had All In and then we had All Out. And you still...
Two consecutive weekends.
Yeah, and you still want your fandom to pay $50 for a pay-per-view, and then the next week another $50 for a pay-per-view that was not that, it was not good. All Out was really boring. I like barely paid attention to it.
You found it boring?
Yeah, I mean, there were moments where I obviously did enjoy, but after All In, I was like, how are you going to compete with this?
Did you find it boring because you watched All In the week before?
Yes, I checked out. So mentally, I just checked out. It probably was a good pay-per-view, but I think mentally, I was just like, this is not All In. Like, I'm okay. I don't need this pay-per-view here. Yeah. So I think if they're going to turn into commercial, I think they should have their own network, like WWE Network, especially if you're trying to produce that many pay-per-views, because I can definitely see the fandom turning against AEW, saying, hey, like, you're producing a lot of pay-per-views, but you're expecting us to still pay like the full amount. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to invest for a company that, I mean, it's a great company, don't get me wrong. But yes, they are getting more commercialized. I don't like how there's a lot of indie spot fest, you know, in AEW. And although that's wonderful, I don't need that every single match, and I don't need every pay-per-view to have like 9 matches. Like today, WrestleDream has 9.
9 would be good. They never have 9. It's usually like 10, 12, 13. Like, yeah. They have like a 2 hour, zero, what do they call it? 0 hour pre-show.
0 hour,
Like, sometimes it's actually, and I can't lie, I always complain. And by the time I'm watching it, it's like, this is great. Like, it's so good. Generally, you know, generally speaking, it's really good. But it's too much. It is literally too much. And that was on the basis of when they were doing pay-per-view. They only had like 4 pay-per-views a year. So now you're doing 12 a year, or you're moving to a model where you're doing about 12 in a year. Surely you can't be having that many people, because they'll get a chance next month. You don't need to, you know, before you could say they're putting them all on pay-per-view because they're not running another pay-per-view for 2-3 months. But now that's not the case. So surely we can get shorter pay-per-views.
Yeah. I think 5-6 matches, great.
Yeah, like takeovers, like the old takeovers used to be, like those were serious. But yeah, I just think that with, you know, even with the amount of TV they're getting, obviously they've got Collision now. They've got Ring of Honor, but I don't really know what they're doing with Ring of Honor personally.
I don't know what they're doing either. All of the AEW roster are champs besides Athena.
Yeah,
I think Athena is the only Ring of Honor champ right now that's in Ring of Honor, and then everyone else is outside, or Shibata
as well. Yeah. But this is it. I just think like you're blurring the lines, and especially Ring of Honor, which is basically so sacred to a lot of these men and women as to where they cut their teeth, came up, the heritage of what that company, like, you bought it for the tape library ultimately, and now you've got the show, but you're not really doing the show justice. Like, the tape library now in 2023 or 2022, no one's going to want to watch that back. Everyone's going to watch what happened, you know, early 2000s, 2010s and stuff like that. Not now, because it's not great, sort of thing. But yeah, with this TV, I think with the Collision, like you said, it's they've been growing, and they've been given the opportunity to kind of have these extra hours of TV and stuff like that. I'm not too sure whether they actually wanted it. I'm not too sure whether they just wanted Dynamite, 2 hours, nothing else, sort of thing. But now they've got more than they can bite. And, you know, it's looking more and more like WWE to me.
Yeah. What do you think of Rampage?
Oh, Rampage is, yeah.
You don't think about it?
So I watch Rampage, but it's like one of those ones where I'm doing something else and it's on in the house, and it's just on. So I'm kind of keeping up with it, sort of thing. But even that started off with a bang. You know, you had Moxley on Rampage, you had Kenny Omega on Rampage, Punk made his re-debut on Rampage. Like, but it's just down the drain now, especially when they got rid of Dark and Elevation. It became Dark and Elevation for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's essentially what it is. And I mean, you do more than I do when it comes to Rampage. I don't even leave it on the background at all. I only watch it if I see Kenny Omega's going to have a match.
Yeah.
If my favorites are going to be on there, all right, I'll give Rampage a shot. Even with Grand Slam, I think I watched like the first hour, and then I like just checked out. I don't know. I think mentally, if I just don't, I'm like, why is this happening? I think I just, I'm like, you know what? I'd rather not watch it. Because if not, I'm just gonna like poop on the entire show when it's probably a good show.
It's you know what the problem is. It's okay. It's an okay show, but the wrestlers on it, no one cares about. Like, you haven't given us a reason. Yeah, you haven't given us a reason to care about the Hardys. Like, they're the Hardys, and that's about it. Like, if I'm watching it, it's because I love the Hardys from my childhood or whatever the case is. It's not because I love the Hardys today. Like, so. Yeah, it's a very odd one. But so for you, AEW over WWE?
Yes. Strictly because AEW did start as like, it did start like a indie promotion, and it was more so about the wrestling, and then they started to add intriguing storylines and stuff like that. So that definitely got me even more invested. That's where I first saw MJF. I didn't see him back in MLW or CZW. But that's where I first saw him. Then I saw his growth and I was like, this is my favorite wrestler. This is what I want in a wrestler, like everything. And now I think I definitely prefer AEW over WWE right now, just because of what BCG is doing. You follow my content. I don't know if you know how like how strong I feel that the fact that Jay White, they brought in Jay White. There's no gold around this man. There's no gold around this man.
Talk about it.
Him and Juice Robinson are one of the most entertaining things in AEW right now. It's better than you, baby. BCG. And I'm going to add Nextron. Because that is hilarious. Nextron is great. But BCG needs gold around them. And Jay White is going, well, he confronted MJF, which is great. Jay White should be in that picture, but what is Juice going to do? Like, are you like tag titles and the main title?
I think with the Guns and Juice, they could have a good trios run. I think not to relegate him to a tag team or anything like that, but I think if we get to a point where Jay White is the champion and they want to give the rest of them gold, the trios title could be very good for those three, because the Guns as well are very entertaining. Whether people like them or not, they're very entertaining. So then with Juice as, it's almost like a low-key like circus act, just the three of them, but great, good wrestlers. Like, I think these deserved. And just on the point you mentioned about Jay White, it's about damn time, because like I've watched Jay White throughout his, like when he was a young boy in New Japan, and he's come through the ranks, and his New Japan like resume is littered with gold. Like he always has a championship. And then for him to come here, and I don't know how closely you've been following this, but this promo segment he cut with MJF was like the first big promo segment he's done since he arrived. And it's a crime, because he's one of the best talkers in the company, which we all saw the other day. So like he had his first feud was with Ricky Starks, another great talker. Why did those guys never have any interaction, you know, and it was just fight all the time? I really think, you know, for what, the best part, 6, 7, 8 months, they completely dropped the ball with Jay White. Collision was a big help, because it just gave him and Juice a real focus. And now we're seeing him shining. And I don't know about you, I was thinking in terms of people that's going to beat MJF for the title, I was nailed on from early this year. I said it's Adam Cole. Since about February, I've been saying it's Adam Cole. Adam Cole's going to beat him eventually. And now Adam Cole's injury, we don't know whether it's fake or real. Everyone's saying it's a real injury, but I don't believe anybody. Now it's like, for me, after Dynamite, Switchblade Jay White has entered the chat. Like, it may be him. Yeah, as he should, like you're saying, as he should. Like, I'm very much thinking now Jay White could be the next AEW world champion.
I agree with you, because I thought Adam Cole for the longest. But now, because of his injury, we don't know if it's real or not. We don't know if he's still connected with the Kingdom. We don't know if they were the ones that attacked Jay White. Yes, all of that. Now that Jay White is in the picture, I definitely see him taking it from MJF. I really don't think MJF is leaving 2024. I don't think so.
Oh, no. I don't think so. I do think they should continue playing it up, though.
Yes.
Like, they continue doing that. But
hype it up. I feel like MJF is not done with what he needs to do in AEW. I know that he really wants to keep growing that company and elevating AEW to be in the same level with WWE. So, I don't think we're going to see a new champ maybe till like mid-2024 or maybe like the end of 2024. I think he's holding that title for a while.
Really, really. You know what? I'm enjoying it, and I don't mind. I don't mind if he keeps holding it. Like, because of the good work he's doing and the quality of challenges they've been giving him, like even when Samoa Joe faced him at Grand Slam, there's a point in the match where Samoa Joe gave him a muscle buster. And I said, you know what? I'm ready for Samoa Joe to win this world title. I don't mind, sort of thing. Obviously, MJF retained, and I was happy with that as well. But it's like everyone he keeps facing, just because the story and everything is so good around it, like I just don't mind. I don't believe it's coming, you know, all the way to my gut. I still think he's going to hold the title for a while. The only thing I was kind of looking for them to do, like if it is a thing where, you know, I'm leaving the company in 2024, we get like a almost like an element of panic from backstage, like he can't leave this company with our world title, and it's like they keep sending out their best and he keeps overcoming, like he overcomes Hangman and he overcomes Omega, and then it's like, really, oh my god, like who else do we send, sort of thing. And then I would like to see like some type of urgency like that if they are going to keep playing up the 2024 thing, because if it's just everything's cool, he's a baby face and I'm leaving in 2024, I don't think it will work as well. Especially now you see him in the press conferences, all the rah-rah speeches, like I'm the locker room leader, I love this place, blah blah blah. He's really changed his character, and it's good, it's great stuff, but I feel like there's so much potential that 2024 stuff, like, yeah, that could be a really intriguing storyline.
Yeah, I see. If he does lose the title, I see it probably like in the middle of his contract ending. I do see him maybe losing it, so everyone thinks, oh, he's going to WWE, but then he just gets it back like the next week or something.
Maybe something like that. I always kind of envisioned it as, if you remember how CM Punk left the company as WWE champion, something like that. And we see MJF go off and he's fighting in Mexico and fighting in Japan and fighting in all of these places as AEW world champion, but he doesn't have an AEW contract. Yeah. And then eventually he comes back. Like that's what I really, really want. But yeah, right now he's a babyface, so we'll have to see, you know, how this goes, sort of thing. Yeah, but yeah, he's doing great stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, so listen, we just wanted to get you on and have a quick chat. We're gonna get you more in the future. We're gonna talk some more AEW, because you know, AEW is doing some great stuff right now. Maybe towards the back end of the year as well, when we're maybe doing some wrapping up around who's the best champion in AEW being, and best male, best women. And we can give our own little awards for how AEW's done. But no, I appreciate you coming on, Mini. Do you want to tell the people where they can find you?
Yes, it is at Mini Portable. That's everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, kick.com, and then on TikTok is mini.portable. But yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate that. And yeah, whenever you want to talk again, let me know.
Thank you one more time for Minnie for coming through. Really appreciate you. Literally, she told me she'll do the show, but she said I'm in between flying. So I'll jump on. So I said, yeah, I won't take up too much of your time. Just join me. Let's talk some NXT, some AEW, which I'm even sure you could hear her excitement of talking AEW in her voice. So definitely get some more AEW conversations with Minnie on the channel soon and on the podcast. Obviously we spoke about the what happened at Dynamite, this past week with Switchblade Jay White, MJF. Absolutely fantastic to see Jay White in this position now. This is where he deserves to be. You know, he is a top of the card kind of guy, and not to say he can't work lower down the card. We've seen the great work he's done lower down the card or in the tag division on Collision as well, but this feels like home. You know, this really feels like home for Jay White. Tussling with the best in terms of MJF, putting his case over, and now, like we're saying, out of nothing, we now have a possible contender for the AEW World Championship. So very much looking forward to see what those two can do together. But yeah, I'll leave this here. I need to get this all ready and packaged for you guys. Again, I apologize, there's not going to be any Wrestle Dream talk on this podcast because Wrestle Dream hasn't happened yet, and I gotta get this podcast ready for you guys for Monday morning, for you guys that love listening to it on your commute and stuff. And I appreciate, you know, you guys that do listen to it and plug it and share it with others and all of that kind of stuff. Keep doing that, keep hitting the review button as well, and leave a review. Let me know what you thought of the show and what you think of the podcast in general. And one last thing I'm going to plug This is very important to me. So I took the time and I wrote a video essay all about Finn Balor and his shortcomings when it comes to the world title in WWE. This was very important to me because Finn Balor is someone I really like as a wrestler. Like, I'm a big Finn fan. Like, I'm a big Finn fan. Have been for a very long time. He was one of the first people I watched in Japan when I was watching New Japan, 2012. Yeah, like that far back. So I've loved Prince Devitt, Finn Balor since then. So this was me embarking into video essays. If you know my channel, I very much talk about, you know, stuff that's just happened, reactions, news. Well, this was me trying to put something a bit more long form together, to kind of give a documentary styled video on, you know, Finn Balor. And it took me a long time to write and it took me a long time to edit, just because I'm thinking, I'm not very good at this. And, you know, not being very confident. I say it how it is, not being very confident with what I was doing, but I thought I'm going to try this style of episodes for my channel. So I've done it. It should be out now on my channel as you listen to this. So yeah, please give it a watch. It took a lot of time for me to put that together. So please, in the comments as well, let me know what you think. I take all feedback. If you thought it was pants rubbish or you thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, let me know in the comments so I can improve. I've half written some other ones that I want to finish and put out for you guys, but I would love your feedback on this one to know, is it kind of worth my time? Because like I said, it took me a lot of time to do this. So yeah, I appreciate that. That's the only thing I'm plugging this week. So of course you can check that out. But yeah, guys, I appreciate all your support always. Like I said, podcasts, you guys are enjoying them. Keep enjoying them. Let me know who you want to get on the podcast as well, who you want me to chop it up with. And yeah, we'll keep everything alive on the socials and keep posting. Catch me, WrestleManiac UK, Twitter, Instagram, or X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And I will see you in the next one. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.